The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Hump Day Hotline, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast and vidcast networks. Hump Day! It's Hump Day, Jay Spence. The last Hump Day of the 2021 season for us. Hump Day.
I'm shocked you had the energy to do that. Like, the way you just...
fabricated, dude. This is all fabricated. So I've been in the production business long enough to know that... When the camera's rolling, when you're on stage, it's 125%. It's got to be 125%. And I tell podcasters that. So when people talk to me about, hey, I want to get into podcasting, you know, what should I do? Or blah, 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 blah. I tell them, always have a good concept. Don't just, I'm going to talk about the Bills. That's not a concept. And you've always got to bring energy, some sort of, you know, fabricated energy. It can't, if it's natural, that's even better. But this isn't, you know me. This is a natural.
Yeah, that's why I laughed. That's why I'm like, oh, so I'm like, I'm shocked you had it. But yeah, I'm with you. 125, we there. All gas, no brakes.
Yeah, what? Brian Bowers, still not happy, dude. I'm still all up in my feels. So first of all, we are Super Chat Live. Like and subscribe, whatever platform you're on. My name is Joe Miller. That's Jay Spence, the King, one of my best friends in the entire world, and I'm kind of. I've been avoiding everybody, but I was driving home from work literally 25 minutes ago thinking to myself, I probably should have called Jay Spence before now. Like, we probably should have interacted just so I had somebody, because I've been in a shell. I mean, I did the Fina show. I haven't done the overreaction show yet because I just can't find the words every time I sit down to type some notes. I just can't find it. And I haven't had a chance to really get it out. I think the confliction that I have is I had such an incredible time with my daughter, like the flight, the tailgate, even before that, Taps the night before, which was standing room only. Benny the Butcher was there. Like, it was crazy. Like, everybody that we know was there. And then the tailgate, meeting up with Isaiah Hodgins and Isaiah McKenzie, like, at breakfast. We didn't have breakfast with him, but I picked up the field passes from Isaiah Hodgins and like Isaiah McKenzie was there. So that was cool. Like, I got to meet Little Dirty. And then going back to the tailgate, being on the field the whole entire game. Josh walks off the field a winner twice, 13 seconds left. Gabriel Davis. I said this to McKenna. Gabriel Davis caught 4 touchdowns. He wears 13. I'm sitting in seat number 13. There's 13 seconds left on the clock. It's in the bag. Like, I'm pulling all the superstitious stuff out. And that's where my confliction is. Like, I've got this amazing memory with my daughter. And like, I've got, that's the period at the end of the sentence. Does that make sense? It's like, yeah. I have analogies that I won't get into, but
I think that, if I'm honest with you, after hearing you say that, cause we talked a little bit before going live, but after hearing you say it that way,
yeah,
I think you should do your overreaction show, but I think you should do it with no notes. I think you should just go in there. Honest to God, I think you should just go in there and get it all out, man. Sometimes you got to vent, and if you, and you know, it doesn't have to be coordinated, you know, like, sometimes you just got to go and just I went live after the game and literally I didn't try to prepare. I went right after the game too. I didn't wait an hour because I wanted it to be as raw as possible. Sometimes just go and just, you know, sometimes let everybody see you, like, you know, like, let them see it.
Yeah.
Let them see it. Cause they're going through it too.
It's the play on the show's name. Right. So the amount of times Bruce Nolan has listened to my show back, or Joe Marino been like, I didn't see any overreacting or hear any overreacting in that podcast. It's like, why not? As much as, I mean, the show's called Overreaction because that's what we as Bills fans do. Just call your mom. But if I had been live after the Jaguars game, immediately after, or that game that we just had, you would have seen raw, emotional, overreacting Joe. I probably would have smashed stuff on camera live. Like, I probably would have been like the dude from the Browns. Was it last year, the year before, when the dude on the radio was losing his mind about the Browns? I don't know if I'll see if I can find it and send it to you, but he was just going off on the radio, like losing his ever loving mind. But I'm conflicted. How are you feeling? I know you were just telling me a little bit. Tell everybody how you're feeling, because you're doing better than I am.
I'm good. And I guess I'm good for different reasons. So obviously I'm disappointed that we lost, obviously. Yeah. I really felt like, you know, this was the year. And it happens. Only one team gets to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I feel more confident now than I did before the game that I knew that Josh Allen is going to bring a Lombardi to Buffalo. And the reason why I'm so there's multiple levels of it. And this is kind of what you and I were talking about before we went live. So the first thing is, after seeing Josh Allen do that on that stage, that type of performance, going toe-to-toe with that team and that quarterback, if you don't have confidence in Josh Allen going forward,
agreed.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know what you need to do with your – I got LASIK. Maybe you need to go get LASIK. I don't know. Like, if you can't see it, go get LASIK. I can absolutely recommend you to a wonderful doctor.
Right.
Secondly, the thing is, it wasn't just us to see that. Every free agent wide receiver, every unhappy, disgruntled wide receiver with their team who wants to get out is going to see that. And they see that Josh Allen, not only, yeah, he has the strong arm, but he has that baller, that killer mentality. He has that, shout out to the mama mentality. He got Kobe's mentality. And you're going to see guys now saying, you know what? I'll take less money to go and play with a guy like Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs so we can win a Super Bowl. So you're going to start seeing that. And one of the things I mentioned last night on a code of conduct is, like, you remember a couple years ago when it seems like everybody wanted to go to the Chiefs. Literally, everybody signed to the Chiefs. And then 2 years ago, everybody signed to Tampa Bay. And it was like, you got these hot teams. Guess what, Buffalo? We're about to be the hot team.
If we got the cap room, because I think we're $12 million under the cap right now. We're going to talk about some unrestricted free agents here in a moment. Just kind of as soon as we clear off the foam on the top of the coffee cup or of the glass here. It's got me, and I don't want to give away anything in case I do a show, because I do have things that are in my head as far as that goes. Steph, you just put it up there, said it felt like we lost the Super Bowl. And I think that's what it is. Like, and I think I sent that to you. I said, I tweeted it. I remember this feeling. This was Wide Right for me, or Music City Miracle. That I remember this feeling when I felt like it was there, the wind was there, and it was stolen away.
It's mind blowing to me that so many people have that feeling.
Literally, I felt like we lost the Super Bowl Sunday. That's like, this one hurts. And I think that's more of the confliction for me, because I went into this game, I told Fina, I told McKenna, because McKenna said, if they lose, I'm going to cry. I was like, you're not going to cry. I was like, if they play a great game, if it's a great game and they lose by 3 or 7, I was like, we're going to experience a fantastic football game. And I think that's part of the problem too, is I had resolved 13 seconds. We won. Like, all the Bills Mafia in the stands, and there was a lot of us there, were basically, we won. And then conversely, to see it, you know, a couple minutes later, you know, Chiefs fans hugging and kissing each other like they had never won anything before. Like, I can't believe we won that football game. Like, it was just like, what is going on right now? This is bizarro world. But yeah, dude. So this one's going to take some time. The sun will come up, right? But it's still raining here in Lakeview in the Miller household. So.
I mean, I hear you. Like I said, I'm just shocked that you and so many others took it so hard. Yeah. And I completely understand, but I feel like last year's hurt worse to me. Last year's loss in the AFC Championship hurt a whole lot. And I know this was like the 13th. Now it has a name. Like, it belongs with the Music City Miracles and the Wide Right. Like, it, no so it belongs goal. There.
Yeah, all of that.
But to me, it, like, the heartbreak was so much, it hurt so much more last year. this year, I guess, like I said, and you know me, I'm not a moral victory kind of guy. I'm never, sure. I'm sure. Like, nah, screw that. So there's no moral victories here. But what I see is, like, for the first time in my life, I don't question whether or not my team is in the elite category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last year, it was like we were doing it, but then everybody kept questioning it, and we questioned it too. Like, well, I mean, all year, Wildest Dreams Land. It was like, yep. Is this a dream? Is this what? Like, we were questioning it ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, to the point where after this game,
go ahead. Mm-hmm. After this game, I was gonna say, let it go. I was just gonna pile onto the Wildest Dreams Land. I let it go, and then it kind of got its own legs and kind of rebirthed itself. But, anyways.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Like, now for me, after this game, it's like, there's no questioning. There is no questioning that Josh Allen going forward is going to be a top three quarterback.
Yes.
There's no questioning that, you know, our offense is, whether Brian Daboll goes to Miami, goes to New Jersey, wherever he goes, we're still going to have a top offense. There's no questioning that our team is like, we're that team. We are that team. And to be honest with you, listen, Joe, I don't know how I'm so happy and excited after that type of loss, but I'm telling you, like, I cannot wait for September. Yeah. Cannot wait.
One of my old friends, Josh Lynch is, I think this is the same Josh Lynch, ladies and gentlemen, Browns fan, but was rooting for the Bills to go all the way, swore they had won the game in epic fashion, disappointing and still confusing, but Josh Allen has officially announced his presence. What's interesting about that is I had a Twitter conversation with somebody this week, and they were like, just because Josh Allen played one great game doesn't mean, and it's like, one great game.
What if,
do you watch football?
I can give you my LASIK doctor. I'm telling you, he was wonderful.
Were you alive in 2020? Because the dude played, he had an eight stretch, like a stretch of eight games where he was he was number two in MVP votes. Like, some of these people
did it two times on the biggest level, on the biggest stage of his career. Two times.
Right. I think part of it for me as well. So there's levels to it, right? And puzzle pieces. And I had a lot of Browns fans, by the way, reaching back to me and just letting me know. One of my best friends in Columbus, who's a huge Browns fan, and we've been, the whole time I lived in Columbus, we were basically brothers because he's a Browns fan and I'm a Bills fan. He said he went to bed crying that night. He went to bed with tears in his eyes, not only for me, but for all of Bills Mafia. But I think part of the problem I have too is this, and I know that we get flack sometimes, and the hard part about this job, and it's not a job, but the hard part about this hobby is we have to be, as much as we are, we're super fans. We don't dress up like the super fans do, but you and I are super fans. Content creators for the Buffalo Bills are super fans. We're putting stuff out there, right? We're not dressed up as Darth Vader, but we're putting stuff out there and we're putting ourselves on the line. The hard part about this job is we have to be critical at times of poor play, but that doesn't mean for one second that we don't love these players. Like, I love this team. There's few players on this football team that I don't love being on this football team. I love all of these guys. As much as we were critical of Isaiah McKenzie, you and I were the ones saying, I don't need him returning kicks, but the dude should not be on the bench. He shouldn't be inactive. He should be in the offense somewhere. Why is he not in the offense? And of course, you know, they figure that out and they put it back in the offense. Are you want me to ask that question, answer that question? Let me finish real quick. So my heart hurts for them too. So it's for me, it's for my daughter. Obviously it's the way that they lost, blah, 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 blah. But my heart hurts just to hear Josh Allen's Monday locker room clean out press conference. He starts it out with, you know, how you doing? And he's like, as good as I can be. I mean, like that dude's hurting. Big Cat is hurting. And they all are. Steph Diggs is hurting. Yeah. They're all, So anyways, go ahead.
No, I mean, and just before I ask this question, I mean, I get it. And listening to them, even Brandon's presser today, you know, the GM of the team is breaking down at the beginning of his presser, crying about how much he loves the fans and how heartbreaking this loss is. So I completely get it. I guess for me, I'm just at the place where, you know, I finally see a light at the end of the tunnel where I never did before. So even though we lost, it's like I can still see the light. Like before, it was like, okay, is this real? Yeah. Now it's like, no, this is real and it's happening. It's going to happen. So I guess that's the difference for me.
The sliver of doubt for me is knowing that Aaron Rodgers has only been to a Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers is arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played the game. You know what I mean? Like Peyton Manning didn't he play in one Super Bowl as a Colt? That was it. And then one with Denver.
That's a good point.
There's no guarantee.
That's a good point. The difference is I feel like what they've done to Aaron Rodgers in his career in Green Bay, The Buffalo Bills are already not doing that. They're already not doing that. They're making sure he has a defense and an offense. In Green Bay, there were times that he didn't have a run game. He maybe had one receiver, no defense completely. Peyton Manning and it, come on. The Colts, dude, those guys never had defenses. He had to score 45 points a week just to keep – and he was doing it. But, I mean, what they're doing with Josh Allen is completely different. When I tell you – and then I think I don't want to get in trouble. I know a lot. I know how I think Josh is going to surpass a certain number of guys that we look at right now as GOATs. I really do. After seeing his last two performances, Josh is he's going to be wearing a yellow jacket, a gold jacket at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like if he keeps this up, let's get into because we got a bunch of comments.
Yeah.
Sal wants to know a serious question. Can you win a Super Bowl with McDermott?
Yes. I've had several people DM me and on Twitter and ask me, like, you know, does McDermott have to go? And I'm like, no, McDermott has shown. I've been super critical in 19. I was very critical of McDermott, and in 20 at times, and 21. He clearly learns from mistakes, and that team does learn when things go awry and things don't go the way that they necessarily should. And that's what you want from a head coach. Now, I have struggles with the coordinators. They're very at times set in their ways. Like, this was the game plan. When you look at the Colts, even the Kansas City game, we're going to play single coverage on everybody, play super deep, and like just let the chips hope to slow them down a little bit. Maybe they make a mistake. And then even in overtime, they did that. I have a problem with that type of stuff, but I think McDermott is the absolute right guy for the job. McDermott is a leader of men. He's a man of his word. He's a man of high character, high ethics. The players see that. They know that. They know that this is a business. And he loves them, and even though he loves them, it still doesn't mean that he won't bench you or you won't get cut. And they respect it and appreciate it. They know it, and they know why. Does that make you feel that? Like, does that track with you? So I think yes, absolutely. What do you think?
No, I'm agreeing with you. And actually, so the point that I was going to make, and I didn't get to look it up quickly enough. So before Andy Reid won that Super Bowl with the Chiefs, he didn't win a Super Bowl for a long time, like his whole career.
He won one with the Eagles, did he? Didn't he? Did he win one with T.O.? He just went with T.O., right?
They didn't win.
Four NFC championships in a row. They got T.O. the fourth time. They went to the Super Bowl, and he lost.
They didn't win. So the thing
he was the second. They were the third team to go to a championship game in a row. It was the Vikings, the Bills, and the Eagles. Now the Patriots have done it as well.
So when you look at a coach like Andy Reid, before you get Patrick Mahomes –
before you get there, he's
not winning. And that was I don't know if everybody remembers, that was the question about Andy Reid. Can Andy Reid win the big one? He has all these talented teams, all these great offensive teams, but he never wins the big one.
Yeah.
He finally did. Sean McDermott is in his fifth year.
Yeah.
Like, think about it, like fifth year, and he's made the playoffs four times out of five. He's been to the AFC Championship. You can, I know technically when you look at obviously the tournament, it wasn't the AFC Championship. This was clearly the AFC Championship. There's not going to be another game in the playoffs that was this good, period. Yep. So the success that Sean McDermott has brought to now that's what I've been debating with Bills fans all week. People I love have been trying to tell me this is not a success. I'm sorry. Do you not remember being third and fourth in the division every year? Do you not remember
seven and nine?
Come on. It's like, this is success. And there's only one team to lift that trophy at the end of the year. So if you're only going to judge success based on if you win the Lombardi, then you're going to have a rough life coming up.
To wrap that, can the Bills win with McDermott? Yes, I do. I would say this. We've got two super chats now, so we have to get to them. I would say this. I like Leslie Frazier. Leslie Frazier has put out phenomenal defenses. And I don't know if I've said this to you or who I've said this to, but I've said it to a couple people. I'm ready to see somebody else. Not because I don't like Leslie Frazier, because I need to see aggressiveness in situations. And I just don't think Leslie Frazier is committed to, in his style, being aggressive when it calls for being aggressive. I said it to Fina on Monday. There's times when you need to be aggressive, and Frazier just doesn't. He just doesn't break the mold of what this is what we do, and this is how we win. And it backfires. And when it backfires, it's a problem. Go ahead, read that one.
My man, Buddy B in the building again. He says they better get this right in the offseason. We need to add speed at the corner and guys that can play press man if we expect to slow down the Chiefs. Additionally, we must get an elite pass rusher.
Havoc Reeker. I mean, everything he just said is that here's the problem. Even if they have White back, which they're going to get White back, and they go out and they get hypothetical, they move up in the draft, which they won't do, so far that they get the number one corner in the draft. When they play the Chiefs, they're going to play off man. if Leslie Frazier's the defensive coordinator, because that's what they do. That's just what they do.
I'm gonna just and so this is, I guess, it is a answer to his. He didn't really have a question, but then like still piggybacking off of what you were saying about the D. And I think I said to you, I disagree. So the first time we played the Chiefs, we looked dominant on defense. We got turnovers this season. I'm talking about not last year, obviously, but
two of them. Yep.
You know, so I feel like Leslie Frazier, he does well. I agree about the adjustments because I think the Chiefs adjusted based on what we did the last time we played them. And I feel like we went into this game thinking, oh, you know, we're just going to do what we did and this is going to be it because we're better than what we were. We're healthy. So I feel like we just went in there with the confidence that we really could hang with these guys the same exact way. And it just didn't work. But I'm telling you, like, I understand like saying I'm ready to see somebody else. But the thing is, you know, the success that we've been having with this guy, I don't know. Now to me, I blame Sean McDermott on the things that a lot of people blame the coordinators on. That to me, I blame Sean McDermott because at the end of the day, you can tell. Wait, and actually, before I go there, let's get this last.
I blocked. Oh, gotcha. Oh, no, there was somebody in there that weird, and I blocked them.
Oh yeah, I see it. And the name, good grief.
Right.
Anyway, Steph says I've noticed that I'm not scared of losing coaches like I was last year. Frazier and Daboll, you know, but looking forward to who helps elevate Josh next. Yeah, I'm not afraid of losing them, but I tell you what, if they don't get hired somewhere else, I'm not on the team. Let's move on from them anyway. I think the continuity and the success that we've been having with these coordinators, I think it's very important. I don't know. I'm just not that guy to move on from guys like that. So.
Absolutely caught the $13 reference in the super chat. I was going to stop.
I didn't want to say nothing about it. I let it go.
Didn't want to say the number of how much the super chat was, but no, that was baller. It was legit baller. So yes, totally caught it. And yes. to that point, there's just a, and it goes back to last year. And I know you've heard me talk about this before, and I said it again on Monday. So for everybody that was watching Monday, I apologize. But, you know, the Bills had Daboll and mainly Leslie Frazier interviewing for jobs last year before the AFC Championship game. The Bills were wildly unprepared for that football game. The Pegulas petitioned to change the interviewing process till after the championship game, so the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, because there's more time between them. The NFL did not. They actually reversed it and went 2 weeks early, which nobody got requested. You and I have talked a little bit about that. It just seemed like that game plan defensively, to your point, was lazy. When you've got single coverage on Levi Wallace, single coverage on Dane Jackson, and you're playing your two safeties, who are legit all-world safeties, best safeties in the league, 30 to 35 yards off the line of scrimmage, I just don't know what you're doing. Other than praying to God they don't throw the ball over the top on you.
That's why I blame McDermott.
He has said that Frazier is the CEO of the defense, Dable's the CEO of the offense. They run it. They build the game plans. It's their show.
So let me ask you this. So you're a what is your exact? You don't have to give the exact title with your job, but you're one of the executive.
Yeah,
members
right? Yes.
Executive
leadership. Yeah.
Okay. So now the leader over you, Pete, he basically delegates. He says, "Hey, you do this, you do this, you do that. You go and do your job. If your job starts to lack, I don't care if you're the CEO. Pete is going to say." We might need to fix this because this is and so to me, there's certain times when I feel, especially when the game is on the line, there are certain times where, for instance, I feel like after seeing that we gave up that chunk of yardage and then McDermott at that point need to say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Yeah. Time out. I don't think it is your coordinator's job to call plays. The coach needs to overstep at times and say no. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Our season is he doesn't. So that's why I blame him because I think he's more passive. Now he's a great.
I don't think it's passive. I think it's respectful as a leader. I think you want to allow your. So from a leadership development standpoint, you want to allow the people that you empower to have that because if you constantly usurp them, then the players no longer look to the coordinator; they look to the head coach and only the head coach. Like that's a power issue. Now. McDermott took over the defensive play calling in 19. That was when we were all very critical of McDermott because the defense was playing. So we've seen him kind of take over in the past. The problem is we're never going to know.
I'm not talking about completely taking over play call. I'm talking about in critical moments, the game, when the game is on the line like that, it needs to be on, because it comes down on the coach. Everybody was asking him those questions. It wasn't, nobody's asking, and I'm sure if we get the opportunity, we'll ask Leslie. We'll ask him. But
you saw
them asking Brian.
You saw them mic'd up, right, for Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it today? The mic'd up, just the excerpt. So the mic'd up from Travis Kelce. He's calling the seams open. He saw it. And then you hear audibly Mahomes yelling, "Do it, Kelce, do it." Not a single person on the defense was like, "What did he just say?" Because the ball went right to Kelce. We'll never know. It was a colossal failure on all of them. But at the end of the day, it's the coaches. Whether you want to pick the head coach, whether you want to pick the defensive coordinator, whoever you want to pick, it was a colossal failure on all of them.
It has to fall on the head coach, man. Like, if you're the CEO on the field.
At the end of the day, it does.
It falls on the head coach.
The problem in this situation is it's real time. So for me, for your analogy, for me, my job, Pete's going to step in over a couple of weeks or a month and a half when he sees me failing at what I'm doing. When it happens in 13 seconds, there's not much you can do. I mean, there's the play calls in, right? I mean, the hard part about all is they called a timeout twice to get the right defense on the field and failed twice. And they failed on the kickoff. I don't blame. We talked about timeout rules. Just for the record, I don't think timeout I don't think the overtime rules were the problem at all. Like, I don't blame this on overtime. If the defense makes a stop, if Josh Allen walks off the field at a minute 54 with the lead, if the defense makes a stop, we win. They score a touchdown. Joshua Allen walks off the field with 102 left on the clock. If the defense makes a stop, we win. Right,
I have a tough time with that take, though. Not to argue with you on it. More so from the standpoint of sometimes guys are locked in like that, and you're just not. I don't care if you had the Ravens out there. I don't care if you had the 85 Bears out there. Like, sometimes some guys are just that locked in. Josh was locked in like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, I get it. We had the number one defense in the league, and you expect to stop. Sometimes guys are – that's why he's paid $500 million. That's why he has that contract, because Patrick Mahomes is that dude. Josh Allen is that dude. So there's times where, yeah, you're talking about – and I agree, the defense needed to make a stop. We got two all-pro safeties. Sometimes it just don't happen, man. Nobody was stopping nobody on offense.
In that 13 seconds, Nathan Peterman could hit both those guys. That's how open they were. They were wide open by yards and yards. Kelce got 35 yards on that last catch, that seam play. 35 yards with 9 seconds left on the clock. So this is great. Don Keith, actually, I like this comment. Would that not be Tremaine needing to do an audible? We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's times on the football field that the person with the green dot, so the captain of the offense, the captain of the defense, is not necessarily allowed to audible. So they don't give them an audible to check to. And they had already called the timeout. That was the bigger fail, is they're out there. They've already called the timeout, so they can't call a timeout. It is what it is. But have we flushed it a little bit? Do we want to move on? Because I could live on this bone for a while, because I haven't gotten it out yet. I haven't talked about it. So.
I mean, let's go. I know you need to get it out. You need to vent. I've been I've been the ear for a lot of people this week, because, like I said, I really right after the game, I let mine out on the show.
Yeah,
and then when I let it out, it was done.
That might be what my problem is.
Go ahead and do your overreaction and just let it rip, man. Don't do notes. Brian says, honestly, that number one defense rating is misleading.
It is.
We played a lot of inept offenses, and we didn't. And when we didn't, the defense didn't look number one. I disagree. Like, I don't feel like it's misleading. We played Patrick Mahomes earlier this year.
Yeah, but they were not in sync, and he threw a pick six. So we won by 18 points. Seven of those points came off a pick six. So they had a problem. Bro, on Twitter, I got called out on Twitter because I said the Chiefs are not. They were in last place in the West, and I said, "Don't throw dirt on the Chiefs. They're not done." And people called me out on Twitter, and they were like, "Oh, Joe Miller thinks the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs." Not only did they make the playoffs, they were the number one seed. They beat us in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game. So they were not in sync early in the year. They overcame some hardships. That's the best win we have. That Chiefs win.
I mean, it's the Chiefs. But what I'm saying is, I don't care what anybody you can say it. You can name every team. It doesn't matter. The fact is, it's still very difficult to do what they do. It's the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. It's very, very difficult to do what this defense did. So I'm not taking anything. And then Trey White got injured.
Yeah.
They maintained the same level of play. I don't care who you are.
That was a bit of an illusion. That was a bit of an illusion. The teams that they played after Trey White got hurt was a gift from God, because there was nobody there that was really gonna threaten them.
Because I understand, and I'm reading all the comments, and I hear you, and I hear.
I'm not reading the comments. So
no, I know you're not. What I'm saying is, I see the comments, and then I hear you. I hear the energy you have. I get it. Everybody is still hurt. This loss is very, very new. I get it. But what I'm telling you is, in a year, when we look back, or 2 years, or even further, 10 years down the line, and we look back on this year, we're going to be happy because we had an all-time great effort from our defense. Whether you say they – nobody's going to say, oh, well, they played against Tua twice and they played against – that's not how that works. We had an all-time great defense for Buffalo. We had an all-time great defense. Our offense was solid. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. It's fresh. I understand. Get it all out. I'm going to be here and listen. I'm going to hang up and listen, because I don't want to keep trying to tell y'all about the good stuff when y'all only want to see the bad right now.
The defense was
not misleading. We are the number one defense in the league. We just took an L to the best team right now on the field. That's all.
I love Chris Jenkins. The Bucks were a gift from God. No. And Tom Brady ate us alive. So there was definitely a game plan change for them. As much as we talk about that second half, and the national pundits come out and talk about that second half, and the Bills changed, the Bucks did too. The Bucks were like, we're up. We're going to pump the brakes a little bit, try to just basically run this clock out. So let's not forget, you know, Tom Brady kind of had his way against this defensive secondary. No, it is fresh, to your point. I don't remember if you and I talked about it. I've done so many shows, I don't remember who I've talked to about it. The Bills might be the first time ever in league history to have a number three offense and a number one defense and not go to the Super Bowl and win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty pathetic.
You see, again, you guys want to look at it with a glass half empty mentality.
It's not a glass half empty.
It is, because you're saying it's pathetic. But the thing is, how many of those teams faced Patrick Mahomes?
So well, when you're talking about a team with, they faced the Patrick Mahomes of their day. Right.
No, there's never been a Patrick Mahomes of their day. This is a new this new stuff that we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes and now Josh. This is new. This is completely new. We've never seen a quarterback do the things that these guys are doing. The NFL has completely evolved, and I get it. Like somebody else in the comments was trying to listen. I'm telling you, we gotta be happy.
You say that, but Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, the West Coast offense was different. And people were like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. There were the greatest show on turf. There was a time when the greatest show on turf had a kicker that couldn't kick to save their lives, so they didn't kick ever. They just went for it always, and it worked because nobody could stop them. Like this is not abnormal. This is. I mean, it's as much as it's not Patrick Mahomes.
Kurt Warner wasn't running. Kurt Warner wasn't giving you.
I'm not saying he was 75
yards on the ground. No. So what I'm saying is, yeah, you might have you've had offense that have been dynamic in the air. You've had that. But you've never, I'm telling you, not like now. Like even when Vic was he's the most dynamic guy, you know, as far as running from the quarterback position. He didn't have the arm that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes has. Sure.
Or Justin Herbert.
We've never seen guys be this mobile, this strong with arms.
Yeah.
This is where the NFL was going. They've never had a Patrick Mahomes 15 years ago with these defenses. You've never seen it.
Yeah, I'm just not going to asterisk it. It is what it is. You've got to make a stop at 13 seconds. Squid the
kickoff. I agree.
The kickoff is a big problem.
A pass.
You kick the ball to the 2 yard line, force him to catch it. He's not going to down it at the two. You kick that ball off to the 2 yard line. He's got to return it. Whoever it is, it was Pringle, and people think that it was Tyreek Hill. It was not Tyreek Hill. He's got to return it. That's going to take 5 seconds at least. Now, clearly, the fear is he breaks one off. He's probably not gonna, but he's got to field that kick. And then you've gotten what? 7 seconds left, and you're at what, the 30 with seven and two and three times? I don't know. It was a colossal.
I don't even think the kick was the problem, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not giving
it. It was a big part of it. It was a big part of the problem.
I don't believe so. I believe the problem was that we didn't make a stop with 13 seconds left. Like, you could kick the ball, you could squib kick, you could offside kick, however you want to kick it, you have to stop them from getting into field goal range, and we didn't do it. So, I'm not giving them a pass, but I don't, at the same time, this was not as horrible as all you guys are making it. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see.
I might feel that way at the end. Mario Dominguez actually has a super chat. This is the tag on because the super chat didn't tag to his super chat. But he says, great job all year, guys. Thanks for being here to help Bills Mafia work through this epic disappointment. 100% agree. Josh will win a Super Bowl for the Bills. Believe. Go Bills. I agree. I'm not off of the, like, Josh Allen to me is absolutely 100%. And it's just the whole thing is just unfortunate. Let's officially move on. And before, by the way,
I will say this. This is why I'm excited for the break, though.
Yeah.
Because when we lose and it's the end of the season, Bills fans take this harder than any. I know fan bases love football, but guys, like, I'm going to take a snapshot of a lot of these comments, and in 6 months, I'm going to post them. Because I'm like, the way you guys are talking, like, somebody's saying that the defense wasn't good at all, and like all this overrated talk, and then we're talking about how this wasn't I'm telling
they're just,
you,
they're just showing their true colors for my show. Why my show is named what it is, because Bills fans overreact. That's what we do.
Hey, well, I'm just saying, like, it's wild. It's
the
wild.
Defense was good. The defense was good, but they, when you have a number one defense in six major categories, you need to show up in the last game of the season or your last game of the season.
No, I understand. Yep. And I agree. That's why I said I'm not giving them a pass. I'm not saying that like this game they were all time great, but regardless, you don't choose your schedule.
Right.
So, agreed. So like everybody's saying, like, we played these soft teams. Listen, the Buffalo Bills didn't go into the NFL office and say, hey, we only want to play two good quarterbacks for the year and give us these soft quarterbacks so that way we could make our defense look great. No, they just went out there and balled. Shout out to Jessica. She says it was a coaching mistake on the kickoff. We have the two best gunners in the NFL. I agree. It is a learning experience for a team and coaching staff. I agree about the gunners. Again, and I agree with the point that she's making about the kickoff. Yeah. I just really, again, I don't care how the ball was kicked, whether it was fielded on the two, whether it was a touchback. If they were on the 25-yard line with 13 seconds left, we should be able to stop them before they get in field goal range. So I'm agreeing with her, but I'm just saying, like, the problem to me wasn't the kick. The problem was we couldn't stop this team from getting 40 yards in 13 seconds. That's the problem.
Yeah. The Encyclopedia backing with a comment. He says, I'm totally in the headspace of Spence, so, which is good. And I'm not saying that I won't get there. He says, I'm on the positive side of things, and I'm super pumped for next year and onto the future. The future is bright. I think for me, there was a feeling for me being an older Bills fan when we were dominant, one of the most dominant, the winningest franchise in the 90s is still the Buffalo Bills. We won more games in the 90s, playoffs included, than any other team in the NFL did. People want to forget that fact. And then you go 20 years without a playoff, 17 years. And there's an aspect of, like, you just, for me, it feels like these chances don't come around as much as you think they do. And then I begin to convince myself with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And I can begin to convince myself with the Andrew Luck stuff. Like, the great quarterbacks that have played, Dan Marino made it to one Super Bowl in his career. You know what I mean? I could just begin to build a case as to why, you know, and then you hear people talking about windows, and you were talking about the window. You were big on the window, the Super Bowl window last year, that once Josh Allen signs his contract, the window's going to close, and the window is now. And I'm not on the side of the window, but I can begin to convince myself. I can argue about windows, right, when it comes to free agency
last year, and stuff. Last year, I was assuming that the – because remember, even Bruce kept saying, if we get this version of Josh Allen for the rest of his career, we're okay with that. Right. Yeah, so I assume that was basically his ceiling. I'm like, well, this is Josh. Like, he's the runner up for MVP, second in voting. Like, this is Josh. We just saw Josh play better than that in the playoffs. We just saw Josh play better than he did in his MVP runner up season. We saw Josh play at a level that we've never seen a quarterback play in playoff history. This guy had 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, 14 incompletions total in the playoffs. Total.
Incredible. 7 touchdowns. Was it 7 touchdowns? No. How many touchdowns was it? 9. 9 touchdowns, right?
9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 14 incompletions. John says, fellas, I haven't been able to really watch anything regarding the game until today. The only reason why I'm on this is because of you both. You are familiar. I appreciate that. We appreciate that 100%, and we love you. I'm just trying to give you guys a positive side of things. I understand that Joe hasn't done this yet. Like, he's still in his post-game vibe. So
I'm still in the corner of my bedroom with the door locked by myself in the dark. That's where I'm at with this loss. I have not talked about it really. So
I hear you. Danny says, any worry about Super Bowl window being shorter or smaller due to the emergence of all the AFC quarterback talent?
Yes. That's the other thing, too, that it that pisses me off. It's not only like I want to see the Bengals win and I want to see them beat the Chiefs this weekend, but then it's like, why do the Bengals deserve to go? They're not better than us, but it still Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, the amount of quarterbacks that are out there that are coming up, even Lamar Jackson is incredibly dangerous as a quarterback. None of them are Ryan Tannehill. You know what I mean? None of them are Tua. Tua's not making that level. At some point in time, we're going to talk about the top five quarterbacks and they're the guys that I just named. And they're all this almost the same age, clustered around the same thing. And all their teams are going to be doing the same stuff, trying to provide them with an offense and a defense to play each other and beat each other.
But let me ask you this. When you mentioned those guys, so any of those guys that you named, are you afraid of? Regardless. So are you afraid of
what's Lamar funny, Jackson? I'm more afraid of Herbert than all of them. I haven't seen enough of Burrow yet. But to me, Burrow, Herbert, and Allen has a lot of that running capability that Mahomes has, but he's better at it. So it's a little more Lamar Jackson. But to me, arm talent, because Mahomes is a pitcher. So Mahomes is an amazing quarterback. I'm never going to take anything away from Patrick Mahomes and what he is as a decision maker and a quarterback and all that stuff. Patrick Mahomes is elite, but he's not a thrower of the football like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. The way they throw the football is Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. The way they throw the football is just different. Mahomes is all like a lot of that off-platform stuff. He did the one chuck and duck for a touchdown. Like they were highlighting it on Twitter and saying what a great thing it was and how he evades. And I was like, it was a chuck and duck. That one touchdown he threw, he basically, I think it was somebody was coming at him and he just did one of these and it worked. He gave his guy a chance and it worked. Herbert is the guy I'm most afraid of. And it might be Burrow behind him. Go ahead.
Mason Park says, the problem is the Chiefs are the only team in the league that makes the Bills coach scared.
Probably.
I feel like we need another top end quarterback with a cornerback with speed and some zone ability to pair with Trey. I agree.
It's a good comment. Agree. Thank you for the super chat. That's legitimately solid. That is a solid take. Like
I don't even have anything to add to that. Like it's a solid take.
Yeah. Just like Brian Bowers, get that man a show. I love good takes.
L. Kerf says, aren't we tired of saying next year? We weren't guaranteed to get where we are this season or last season, and definitely next season with all the emergent talent coming out of the AFC. I disagree. We've been like we really haven't been in the position besides the last 4 years to say next year. Mm-hmm. And really, out of those times that we went, that first playoff team where we went down and lost to Jacksonville, nobody was like really thinking we were going to win the Super Bowl that year. We were just happy to sneak into the playoffs. Then the first year we made it with Josh. It's the natural progression for rookie quarterbacks or second year quarterbacks. You go into the playoffs, you really don't win, but you get that experience. You have the heartbreak. This is the first year where I felt like, yo, we going to the Super Bowl and we better make it. Now we lost, but I'm still at the place where I can say next year we're doing it. I'm sorry. I just can't get with y'all with like feeling so down and feeling like we can't do it. Like I really believe in this team. I really believe in this coach. I really believe in this GM.
I don't believe in any of these guys.
Sure, not you. I'm not saying you.
You're saying people.
Yeah, just in general, like for everything from Sunday night up until now, some of the comments here, some of the comments on Twitter, on Instagram, like in the Buffalo Bills chat during the pressers, like man, like it's like these guys, like our fan base is laying, and I get it. We lost. But I'm telling you, there's so much to look forward to with this team. Like I'm really ready to run through a wall, hoping that on the other side of that wall is September 1st.
Yeah,
like, that's how I am.
Peyton's my guy. He says, I don't need seven championships. Give me just one. So here's what I would say about that. I agree 100%. And I'm still at the end. When the sun finally comes up over the brow of Joe Miller and Joe Miller's no longer down in the dumps, it's going to return to what I've been saying to everybody that's a Bills fan since I started podcasting, those that loved and saw the light in Josh Allen, you and I were one of them. We saw it early. Like this kid's going to be good. Give him a chance. And it took a while for a lot of Bills Mafia members to get on board. I was the guy saying, don't take it for granted. Enjoy every win. Enjoy every loss. Like, because I took Jim Kelly for granted. We didn't, there was a great deal of like, we just won. We just win. That's what we do. We win games. And then the dude retires after 10 years as a Buffalo Bill, and it's over. And it's over for 20 years. Like, we didn't get the opportunity that Green Bay had. We didn't get the opportunity that there's another team out there. Who's the other team that stacked two quarterbacks on top of each other? We just never got that opportunity. So I'm going to land at the place of, in, give me one championship, and I'm going to enjoy and soak up every moment of watching this kid play football, because not only is he amazing at playing the football, he loves the city, he loves us, and he is Bills Mafia for life. He is exactly what we want and who we want. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Peyton is basically following you up with that, saying about the quarterback. He's saying, I encourage folks when they can to rewatch the game. Don't rob yourself of the joy of the best Bills quarterback performance in 30 years because of the end. And I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. And I think Joe is with you. And I think everybody, at the end of the day, I really believe that everybody in this room is with you. Like, I think everybody understands who we have at quarterback. I think everybody, I hope everybody understands that the future is bright here. Regardless of the talent in other cities, Buffalo has the quarterback. We have the weapons with them. They're going to get better in certain areas. We're not going to, if I've learned anything from Brandon Bean being in Buffalo for the time that he's been in Buffalo, is that he has tough conversations with himself. He has tough conversations with Brandon Bean after the season. And every time they say they're going to improve in a specific area, guess what? They do. Every year when they have those end of the year pressers and they talk about, well, we didn't do right here, or we didn't do good here, we have to get better there. Guess what? They come back that next season, and they do. This year, I think injuries played a big part in our offensive line performance, and I also think, I know we spoke before on this about politics. I think the thing is, you know, the politics of it is that they didn't start the right guys on the offensive line because some guys were draft picks or something. But we got better towards the end of the season at the right time. And again, I just have a lot to be positive about. OG Brooklyn says, I'm tired of the second place mentality. Go Bills. I don't think anybody has that mentality.
Yeah, I don't think Bills Mafia has. I don't hear that coming from you. If he's talking about the way you feel about being positive, I don't feel that you've got a second place mentality. I think you just got a, there's a lot of great coming from this football game. Who did I hear say it today? It might have been Sal. I heard say it on the radio today. The problem with, so Josh, it's the world has been put on notice. The amount of people that were texting me after that football game about how good Josh looked, and it was his coming out party, and somebody said it here as well, and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's made his presence known. He's announced it to the world. We've known it for a long time. And even in that, there's a level of, man, this ain't right, because Sal said it best. The Bills should have won that game, and this entire week in the national media would have been, Josh Allen has, like, everybody would have been like, the dude has arrived. Even though we knew it as Bills Mafia, the world would have been, this is the guy right here. It's Josh Allen, 17, plays for the Buffalo Bills. And he got robbed of that. My heart hurts for that, because we share in that as Bills Mafia, don't we? We when one of our players is being elevated, and that's why we want Steve Tasker to go to the Pro Bowl, because if Steve Tasker goes to the Pro Bowl, we get recognized. Buffalo gets Hall of Fame. Sorry. We get recognized with him going to the Hall of Fame. We're back on the map again. Somebody's talking about us and our city that we love, where we're sons of Buffalo, where we came from, the pride that we have for this city, the pride that we have for this team. We live and die, and we feel what happens in that stadium and in those stadiums, because they represent us. So to me, There's just a lot, but we, yeah. So, sorry. Anyway,
I feel you. No, I feel all of you. I feel all of you.
Let's do a quick. I don't know why Adam's stuff keeps getting. I don't know why Adam's stuff keeps getting kind of blocked, but.
Somebody I don't know. Blocked Adam again?
Not blocked him, but like they're hiding his comments. It looks like, or it needs to be. I don't know. Adam, I don't know what's going on, but. So he was hit by Buffalo Rumbling. So I don't know if somebody's in here doing it or what, but Adam, I'm sorry. So I don't know why this keeps happening to you. I apologize. It's not me. So let's have a little fun exercise. So I have here the list of Buffalo Bills unrestricted free agents, and we're going to do a little bit of a call and answer. So I'm going to give you a name, and for the last couple minutes of this show, and the commenters can chime in as well if they'd like to. And you're going to tell me basically, do you want them back? And then just effectively why. We'll start with the only restricted free agent the Bills have, which is Ryan Rick Bates. So Ryan Rick Bates is the guy that if they tender, he stays. If they don't tender him, he goes. So Ryan Rick Bates being the first one. Coming back, yes, no.
Ryan Bates, yes.
Yes. I don't think you need to give a why. Clearly, why it took them, the only why is, why did it take them this long to put him in the lineup? Right?
Yeah.
That's the why we all have. And I don't even know if that came out in any of the pressers. What took you so long to put Ryan Bates in the freaking lineup? Because the kid can play. So now,
tough questions, Joe.
what's that, have me in there? Yeah, right. Give me some.
Yeah, we got to get you credentialed. Yeah.
So now unrestricted free agents, which means that these guys are potentially gone. They're no longer on the roster. As soon as the league year starts, they are no longer Buffalo Bills, unless the Bills tender them. So first one, Jerry Hughes.
No.
No. Age?
That hurts me to say. That's why it took me so long. Because I love him as a person, as a player. I've loved what he's meant for the city. I love how long he's been with the team. But it's time. It's time. I don't know if you want to draft. I don't know if there's somebody. I don't even know. I haven't even started to look at the offseason stuff yet. Like, I don't know who's the top free agent as far as pass rushers out there this year. But I just think and I know he wants to play more. So I'm sure the team will work something out with it, whether it be a 1-year deal.
What if he gives that home team discount concept? If he comes in and he's like, I need $15 million a year. No, buddy, love you.
To be honest with you, I wanted to see more Boogie Basham this year. And I feel like we didn't see Boogie Basham because of the depth that we have on the team. So whether it's Mario Addison, whether it's Jerry Hughes, whether it's, whoever, I feel like at some point, we're drafting young players with high motors and these big physical bodies. We need to start using them. So, I mean, again, I'll probably get beat up for that take. But no, I think it's time to move on from Jerry.
Mario Addison. What's funny is how many, like, we get two defensive ends and a defensive tackle right at the top. Mario Addison. Peace sign.
Deuces.
Deuces. Vernon Butler.
Bounce. Deuces.
See you later. Emmanuel Sanders, I believe, is going to retire. He's pretty much made it clear. And I've got an inside source that says that they were talking about him retiring 6 weeks ago, as far as that goes. Mitch Trubisky, he's going to end up on another team. The Bills aren't going to get
– he'll probably end up on another team.
Yeah, he's going to be a starter for a team that needs a quarterback. Maybe the Colts, somebody like that.
I tell you what, if he's willing again to do a backup role, I'm all for that.
We need to talk about that because Davis Webb did not sign his futures contract, so he's potentially gone, and Mitch Trubisky's gone, and Jake Fromm got signed away by the Giants and looked awful. As much as I love Jake Fromm as a dude, did not look great playing football. So the Bills are going to potentially have no backup quarterback. Not a rostered. There will not be another rostered quarterback on this roster. So Mitch is gone. Ike Butker.
I keep him.
Yeah. Price has to be right. Right. This is where it gets a little bit harder. Levi Wallace. Has Dane showed you enough? Do you keep Dane and draft somebody?
Personally, I think Levi Wallace has shown me enough to try and keep him. I think, when I know the last game of the season we lost and we got kind of embarrassed by Tariq Hill. So a lot of people are going to be like, no, he's not fast enough. Get rid of him. But at the same time, Trey White went down on Thanksgiving and we haven't had any issues from our cornerback position. Like every once in a while, we'll see somebody get beat or whatever. But for the most part, I would keep him unless there's like a stud that's coming out in the first round when we're drafting at 25.
Right, right. Tywan Jones.
Keep.
Yep, got to resign.
You keep that man until he retires. You keep him until he retires.
At some point in time, his legs are going to fall off. But, F.A. Obata.
I give Effie another shot. There were big moments that he had for us this year. I think that the length that the team wants to have on a defensive line, he has it. And I think he's getting better every year. He's getting better from what he did in Carolina to now what we're seeing from him here. He's getting better. So he's learning the game a whole lot. I would give him another shot.
I'm gonna jump ahead because I wanna finish the thought. So defensive end was Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Effie Obata. Defensive tackle Vernon Butler. Another one is Harrison Phillips.
You keep Harry.
Keep Harry. I agree. And Justin Zimmer.
That would be the tough one for me.
I'm keeping Justin Zimmer. Here's the problem that I have: three defensive ends, three defensive tackles. The Bills love to rotate guys. I said last year, I think that's a luxury they can't afford to keep. They need to get a havoc wreaker who's going to play 70% of the snaps. They haven't done it. Do they go find that guy? Do they call up the Saints who are, you and I talked, I threw it in the chat with you, me, and Bruce. So Sean Payton gets to basically destroy that entire cap situation and make it so that they can't even play, like field a team, and then be like, deuces, I'm out of here. Good luck dealing with that. That's what's going to happen in New Orleans. But do the Bills call them and start cherry pick? I mean,
If I'm calling him, I'm calling him for Alvin Kamara. Forget all that other stuff y'all talking about. Forget everybody y'all talking about. He has a very cap-friendly deal up until the fifth year on his. Give me every bit of Alvin Kamara's contract.
Who's the defensive lineman in New Orleans that's a stud? I forget. And also there's
Cameron Jordan.
And then Marshawn Lattimore is another one.
Yeah, true. I take Lattimore, but I'm calling for Alvin Kamara. Like, I want Kamara. And the Spurs says, get rid of Star. I'm not on that with you. I'm not on that.
We can't. So we cannot get rid of Star. Star, there is no cap benefit cutting him or keeping him. So it's basically going to come down to, I think it's $18 or $19 million if he plays or doesn't. Even, so if you're spending it, if you're spending it, he plays.
But what even if there were, if there was an actual benefit to cutting him,
right?
Why would we cut Star Lotulelei? Like, right. Honest to God, like, serious question to you. Because I feel like a lot of times I'm the one that's speaking on Star and Tremaine and these guys, and I'm the one that takes these bullets and these, you know. So I'm asking you, would you get rid of Star if we could?
Probably not, because Star, I mean, we've seen him this year get triple teamed. He's basically, I'm going to say it out loud. Star Lotulelei is basically the only player on that defensive line outside of Ed Oliver that offensive coordinators are game planning for.
Thank you.
He's the only one. We got to block that. We got to block that guy. It's not like we got to block that guy because he's Aaron Donald. He's just the best defensive lineman on the team. So we got to block that guy.
But the thing is, and you're right. You're 100% right there. And I'm saying this for the sake of listeners who aren't as, you know, up on that position around the league. I get it. This weekend, you're gonna turn on the game and you're going to turn on the NFC Championship and you're going to see Aaron Donald wreak havoc. You're going to see him do things that you don't see anybody on the Buffalo Bills team do. And then you're going to, you know, I get it. Then you're going to look at the Chiefs game again, and you're going to see Chris Jones do basically similar things. Not as good as Aaron Jones, but you're going to – or not Aaron Jones, you know what I mean. Aaron Donald, but you're going to see him do good things. Those guys aren't normal. Just like Josh Allen isn't normal, everybody can't draft a Josh Allen. Everybody can't find an Aaron Donald. So, yeah, it's nice to talk about Aaron Donald.
Right.
Those guys aren't out there. So when you're talking about Star Lotulelei, he's playing that position at a level that not many people in the league plays it at. So I really want people to understand what Star does for this team. The reason why Ed Oliver started to emerge this year is partially because of Star. The reason why, like, Star has done so much for this defensive line, and I really, really, really need y'all to respect this dude.
Yeah, for sure. So back to it, Isaiah McKenzie.
Keep him. This morning I actually had a post about, I made it like a little funny thing, like upgrade my iMac, you know, but upgrade that man. Give him a multi-year deal. It don't have to be.
I love that you called him iMac. I thought, I was like, that is creative and awesome, iMac. That was great.
You know, the people I love, you know what I'm saying? I'd be giving them these little nice nicknames and whatnot.
But not being an Apple guy, that was really good. Like, that was really good.
It's my guy.
I'm not ready to pay him $9 million
a year. I have an iPhone.
When did you get an iPhone?
Work. It's only because of work. Trust me.
Gotcha. So that's not your personal number. That's work number. No. Guys, I'll say, because when we text, I get green bubbles, not blue bubbles.
And I hate it. I hate texting anybody from work because it's like, ugh. But yeah,
that's funny. I'm not paying him $9 million a year, but I'm giving him a healthy amount of money to stay, and I'm making him a pretty big part of my offense. Which brings into question who's not on this list: Cole Beasley. So the Buffalo Bills, I think his salary is $8 million, and the Bills, if they cut him, they'll save 6.1. So there's a definite concern as to whether or not Cole Beasley will remain on this football team. We're not here to talk about that. We're just talking about these guys right now. Matt Breida, gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ceron Neal.
I think you retain Neal.
Yeah.
Because he's so much more than just a defensive player. His role on special teams is huge. He plays a very, very big role on special teams.
And then the last one, Tyrell Dodson.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
The Bills are going to be they're going to have some cap issues this year. They're going to have to figure some stuff out.
I've been seeing this take a lot, that McKenzie is going with Daboll. I disagree. I think if anything, Brian Daboll underutilized Lil Durty this year. So why are we under the assumption that he would want to go to the team where the offensive coordinator barely used him?
Yeah.
Brian Daboll, we all talk about, like, when we're talking good about him, we all talk about how creative he can be at times and how awesome he is. So, I mean, I can see it, but no, I mean, if anything, and they have less cap space if he's going to the Giants, goes there. They have less cap space than us right now. So it's like everybody's talking about us not being able to give them a bag. They can give them a smaller bag.
If he goes to Miami, though, they have the most cap space.
True.
So that's
Thing about Miami, and I know we just hit the hour. Let me ask you this, because we haven't even talked about Brian Daboll, like the coaching drama that he has going on. Do you see the way I look at it? And I could be wrong. I know the cap space is a thing, and I know draft capital is a thing for the next couple of years as well. I don't know if I want to coach against Josh Allen for two games a season and also Bill Belichick for two games a season if I'm in Miami.
Right.
I think the Giants are in a division that's winnable if you have a quarterback. Now, is Daniel Jones a quarterback? I don't know. Probably not. But the thing is, are you really scared of Dallas? Are you really scared of Washington? You know, are you really scared of the Eagles? So it's like what I'm saying is you go to the Giants and you bring them back to the playoffs and you bring them back to a division championship. You're royalty already. Miami, you have a tough, and I don't care. Oh, yeah. You're right. They got the cap space. They got, I think, two first round draft, not this year, but next year they got two number ones. It's a Waddle, lot. It's a lot.
Parker. They've got Jones. You got good stuff. Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. Not winning the division. It's coming through Buffalo. And that's part of the reason why earlier I was saying, like, I'm good, man. I feel good. We're winning the division. That's who we are now. So I don't know if Daboll, and it, obviously we don't know if all things are equal or not. There's no income taxes down there, and there's beaches and all this good stuff. So maybe he does go to Miami. Where do you think he ends up?
It's going to be the Giant. I mean, it's going to be one of those two teams for sure. I honestly don't know. I'm a believer that there was some turmoil in that locker room amongst that coaching staff this year. I mean, we heard McDermott say certain things when questioned. You know, we're on the same page offensively. We're on the same page. So there was definitely, you and I have talked at length about, one of them wants to be aggressive, one of them wants to be conservative. Which one is it? Because that's the one I want to stay. I want the aggressive one to stay, not the conservative one. So I'm not necessarily sure that this was going to be something that was going to last forever to begin with. So you got to wonder if there's a little bit of a, not V for Vendetta, but, you know, I want to beat my old guy, my old coach, especially when I have a little bit of a different philosophy than he has. If you're looking at greener pastures, I got to think that the Miami team outside of your opponents is a greener pasture. And let's not be fooled. Belichick isn't coaching for another 5 years. We could get surprised this year and he could quit. It could be next year or the year after. And once he's gone, it's Josh McDaniels, who isn't going to make it 2 years. And then that franchise is a poverty franchise for the next 20 years, right? I mean, let's be honest. Without Belichick and Belichick's competitive advantages of taping the other team's offenses when they practice, they're never going to be the same once he's gone, ever.
So ask yourself again then, if I am Brian Daboll, do I want to go in the same division that I know I just helped build a monster that's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future? Do I want to go down there?
The monster is Josh Allen, who he helped develop. The problem is the Bills are in a little bit of salary cap hell. They've got some issues on the salary cap. They might have a little bit of trouble. They might not come back with a number one defense this year, unless Tremaine takes a big jump and becomes.
Even if they don't come back number one, they're not going to be bottom half of the league with the pieces that we do have. You have the safeties that we have. Trey White is coming back. He probably won't be like Trey that we're used to the first year, but Trey's coming back. It's not gonna be one of those things where we're not gonna fall off the face of the earth just because our cap is there. And then the thing is, we have guys that we're gonna move on where the cap is gonna open up a bit. Brandon Bean is gonna restructure something. Brandon Bean is a great GM.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Sure. Like, so we're not in a bad place. We're not in franchise mode. Yeah, like
we're not in cap. We're not the Saints, right?
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Clearly not the Saints. Go ahead with this one before I respond.
John says, Spence, you stole my thunder. I truly believe our new offensive coordinator, aka our QB coach, will use McKenzie in ways that we haven't seen. I think we get better on offense. FYI, prominent media feels the same.
The problem is it came out today that Dorsey wants to be in Miami. And if Daboll goes to Miami, he might go with him.
Where did we hear this?
It's on Twitter today. Yeah, that was on Twitter today.
But I mean, who reported it?
It was one of the big wigs, one of the national media big guys, the Pelseros or one of those guys said it. That
I just I'm not questioning people to this, because obviously they have these jobs and these check marks and all these things. But the thing is, I just feel like a lot of times, a lot of these stories are fabricated. Like like honestly, and I'm not saying that this is a lie. What I'm saying is, when you have these things like that, he says he wants to be in Miami. Who did he say this to?
I think that is out there. I think he was interviewed and said there's something, he's got some connection to that franchise. Yeah, he's got some connection to that franchise. Didn't he play for Miami or something? I think he's got a connection to the franchise.
I'm just saying,
it's kind of like Dable coming back to Buffalo because he grew up in Buffalo. I don't know if he's from Miami or something, but he's got some connection to the Dolphins franchise.
But having a connection to the team doesn't necessarily mean that he said it. That's what I'm saying. Like, people will make assumptions because I'm from Buffalo and I'm always in Buffalo now. Like, rumor is that Spence wants to move back to Buffalo and start a. No, I came back to visit. There is no way in hell I want to move. But just because I have connections to there and just because I love people there doesn't mean that that's where I want to be. So, yeah, he can have connections to Miami. It doesn't mean that that's where he wants to go. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we hear these things and we hear these takes on Twitter and all these other platforms and people. And it's like it comes out to be wrong, like a lot more than it's right. And there's only certain people that I actually respect now when it comes to breaking news.
Shout out to Adam. Who like a bad penny keeps coming back. I don't know how you do it, bro, but I'm glad you made it back, and I'm proud of you for continuing to comment even though you've been accidentally blocked twice. I don't know how these guys managed on offense. I was at the game. It hit 140 decibels. I was there as well. Chiefs. I've talked to you about Chiefs games and those fans and how incredible they are. And I'll give it for the people listening one more time. You know, when you go see the Indianapolis Colts play football and the Bills offense is on the field, their crowd is quiet on first down, quiet on second down. They get loud on third down. That's just what they do. That's their fan. They're not really what we are. In Buffalo, Bills fans are smart. Bills fans, when the opposing team's offense is on the field, we get loud at first down. And then as soon as the ball snapped, whoosh, gets quiet. Have you ever noticed that? Like loud. And as soon as the ball snapped, the crowd gets quiet. Second down, same thing. Crowd gets loud, ball snapped, whoosh, quiet. Third down, it's even louder. Same thing happens. Kansas City, as soon as the opposing team's offense hits the field, they're just loud. And it's monotone. Everybody's in the same tone. Like it's insane. It's the weirdest feeling, the loudest, but they handled it. There was moments in that game I could not believe that they were executing plays as well as they were. The Buffalo Bills, because of how loud that crowd was. It was insane. I mean, I've heard the Bills crowd that loud before as well. It's just more bedlam loud than it is one droning tone that's like piercing your brain. It's incredible. But yeah,
I think home field advantage absolutely played a little factor there.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm seeing a bunch of people in the comments going back to Ken Dorsey talking about how you played for Miami Hurricanes.
So
to me, that's not a connection to Miami Dolphins. Like,
well, it's true. I would agree.
It's not the same connection. So again, it's like, where are we? Like, oh, he wants to be. Did Ken say that? I want to hear Ken say that. I want to hear somebody who knows Ken say that. Yeah, we'll see. I don't believe a bunch of stuff. Like nobody, honest to God, for real. You wanna go and take L's with Tua, or would you rather your first steps as an offensive coordinator be with Josh? Because you know, again, we're gonna win the division for the next few years. So when it's like this, why would you? No, man, I don't. I don't even want to hear that report.
No, that's fair. I mean, would you want to sit down with Josh Allen and be like, hey, what plays do you hate and what plays do you love? Right. And I've got some other ones. What do you think of these? And try to build. I asked Fina about that on Monday. Like, is there a point? Josh Allen's got to be reaching that point. At what point do you hand the offense over to Josh Allen? So regardless of who the offensive coordinator, it's Josh Allen's offense. He said not yet.
I thought it should have been that way this year. I thought this year they should have gave him the keys and said drive.
He said not yet. He said he's still a little young. And I was like, man, I don't know. I'm telling the former NFL offensive tackle, man, I don't know. Who played with Jim Kelly? It's like, yeah, I'm not sure about that, which is interesting. Let me do the read real quick. And then can I just for real, before we get out of here and I do this read and we closing thoughts, there's a ton of people in here that I don't know that I've ever seen as commenters. This is our last show. We got a whole bunch of people up in here and there's a bunch of people commenting that like, I don't know that I've ever seen in here. So freaking awesome. Like,
yeah, we got some good folks in here.
You guys maybe want to come back next week and not take a break.
We got Trey Ellison here. We got,
the Adam, I can't pronounce his last name. He's another one. There's a bunch of them.
Chaucio.
How do you
saying that wrong?
Adam, how do you phonetically pronounce your last name? Caccio. Is it Caccio?
Sean Delavan.
Yeah, there's a ton of people.
Yeah, we got some people in here. We you know, it's a good night. It's a good night.
While you're throwing those, Shane O'Connor, there's another one. I'm new. Love you guys. Like, there's a whole bunch of new people. So I apologize to all of you that, like, we're taking Sioko. So he just put it up there. Sioko.
Sioko.
Very cool.
Nice.
Very cool.
So now it makes sense singing it.
Yeah, you're right. Funny how that happened.
Adam, stop blocking me, yo. I really don't know what happened, Adam. So we're sorry tonight, but yeah.
That's the first time it's ever happened to us where we've blocked one dude twice. That's great. And I don't even know how you got back, because I couldn't unblock you unless you figured it out. Like, I couldn't make it unblock.
Because I didn't even see it at first, because I didn't block him. I blocked that Russian bot, but I didn't block Adam.
The encyclopedia is not new, but he's been MIA at times this year. Just we've missed you at times, Chris. I want you to know that. We love you, bro. So we love you a ton, but I think you know that already. All of us do. Whether it's the built-in Buffalo guys love you, the Fanatics guys love you, the Rumblings guys love you. Everybody loves the encyclopedia. So you guys hear us talk all the time about the sponsor for this show, the Market Dominator. And the Market Dominator is a team, and they're led by John Spaschek. And they are a real estate agents that work for Keller Williams Realty Brokers. And Keller Williams is the largest brokerage on the planet, or at least in the country. I think it's on the planet. But if you're looking to purchase a home, or if you're looking to sell a home in the Buffalo, Western New York market, or outside of the market, they can help you there as well. But if you want the best, you always got to go with the best. And the Market Dominator team is the best. Not only are they the best at what they do, they're also very good friends, John is, of mine and Spence. John is practically family at this point with me. So love John. He's a very good friend of mine. All of my family members have used him. All of my friends have used him. Like, everybody that I know has used him. Regardless, if you're looking to sell a home, you want to maximize its value. If you're looking to buy a home, you want to be able to get in and talk about things inside the home that you're not going to be paying attention to, like cracks in the foundation, things like that. John and his team can walk you through that stuff and make you feel comfortable about the sale. He can turn you away and say, hey, you don't want this house. This is not the house you want. It's going to give you all kinds of problems down the road, so that 3 months in, after you've bought the house and closed, you're not spending $5,000 on things that you wish somebody would have told you about. So John is the team that you want. Call John, 716-570-3298. That is his cell phone number. He will answer, 716-570-3298. You can also reach him on Twitter. He is Bill's Mafia. His handle is M as in Mary, M or Market. M as in Market, Dominator, 716. Give John a call. Do us a favor. We love John. So hopefully he'll sponsor us again next year.
Be nice.
Any closing things? Any closing thoughts for the pod listeners, the people viewing right now, as far as this? So this is going to be our last show for a couple months. Spence and I are both going to take a break. So I'm going to take a break from Overreaction as well. The Phoenix show is done until free agency and draft time. Spence and I are going to vanish for a little bit. We need to detox a little bit. So it's going to be a minute. There's a lot of other great content out there. Food for Thought's going to continue. Obviously, you all know the usual players inside of this market with alternative content. But, closing thoughts just about the year?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you to everybody who has been a consistent part of our show for the year. I want to thank even new people that are in here tonight, like we were just talking about. Thank you for jumping in even towards the end. But listen, I just love you. I love Mom. I'll miss Mom. I'll miss Sis. Tell Jamie. I don't know if I didn't see
Jamie wasn't tonight. In here tonight. Last year, Jamie's not in here.
Yeah, but it's all good. We'll be back. We'll be back before the season. We just both need a little bit of a vacation. Last year, I didn't take a break at all. I think Joe took a brief break, which really still wasn't a break.
Yeah. So I was contemplating a move and whether or not I wanted to keep doing this. I was like, am I going to quit? Am I going to move to somebody else? Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't let Joe quit. So Joe is here, I'm here, and we'll be back. We're just going to take a little break. But listen, I want to say to everybody, like, get through these emotions, process your emotions, but damn it, let's get excited for the next season. And I know it's tough, because this Sunday we're going to watch Kansas City go in there and probably beat up on a team that we know we could beat up on. But listen, it happens like that sometimes. And, it happens like that. But we are going to be back. So be positive, test negative, You know what I mean? That's
don't close the show. I got to give my closing thoughts as well.
I wasn't gonna close it, but I just saw that comment. So that's why I was saying, you know, be positive and test negative. Stay as healthy as you can. Love each other, like really. And I know I say that on my shows all the time as like a saying and all that stuff. But really, like love each other. Love on each other as much as you can. Joe, I love him every single time I talk to him. Every time I talk to Joe, I tell him I love him. And you know, it's important. Let's do that. Let's start showing love to each other instead of just hate. Let's stop fighting each other. And you know, enjoy your off seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know where to begin. So this has been a challenging year for us. You know, when you think about us getting our start last year, I don't know if you want to pop these up while I'm doing it. Jay Spence is like red button now, Joe. you can start firing those. You know, when you think about where so we came into a pretty good environment last year as it pertains to just content creation and YouTube. You know, when we joined Fanatics and, you know, and then we left Fanatics at different times, but we ended up both with Rumblings. And I'm super thankful for Rumblings picking me up and picking you up and giving us the opportunity. But we grinded this year. I mean, when you got to Rumblings, I think the YouTube channel was at like 25 or 35 subscribers, 35. And when I came in, it was like 250 or 300. And now it's closing in on 2000, which still isn't a lot. Rumblings being the premier alternative content source in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills probably should be in that 20,000 range, but the numbers we hit and the watches we get comparative to the amount of subscribers we have blows everybody else out of the water. So somebody else might get 3,000 views on a video, but 3,000 views at 20,000 subscribers versus 1,000 views at 1,800 subscribers. I mean, we're pulling 60-70% viewership, which is incredible. So just the platform that Rumblings gave us, you know, the support from Matt, the support from Anthony Marino, the support from Bruce Nolan. And, you know, Bruce popped in before we even came on live just to wish us good luck tonight. Was happy that we were doing the show tonight to kind of close it out. Just super thankful just for this opportunity. And I'll never not be grateful for you and just the connection that you and I have. I'll never not be grateful for John Fina and the connection that I have with Fina. I'm super lucky and super blessed to, even when I feel like I don't want to do this show or the Fina show because I'm tired, as soon as I'm like, oh, I get to do it with Spence, or oh, I get to talk to Fina, it immediately makes me want to do it. And that's a special place to be in. So even as burnout as I am, even as burnout as you are, the season always comes before it ends before I want it to end. Always ends before I want it to end. I think even if there was a Super Bowl, it would end before I wanted it to end. It ends as a surprise. You know, last week you couldn't have convinced you or me that the season was going to be over. Now we'd have been like, there ain't no way the Bills are losing this football game. Like, we thought for sure this was it. So I would just say thank you to you. Thank you to Rumblings, the cast and crew that are part of Rumblings, all the support that we get, the platforms that they give us, the opportunities, because they don't have to give us the opportunity to speak. And everybody in the comment section, every podcast, the thousands of people that listen to the show in podcast form, thank you. Appreciate you. Like, we would not be doing this if it wasn't for you guys. And there's a lot of content out there. There's a lot of content that you could potentially consume. And the fact that you listen to us is a blessing. So don't ever think that we don't. We're one of you guys, right? We're every fan. Like, we're just like y'all. And normal. I just said that. That's funny. I watch a comment because you're both like us, normal fans. So yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. So love this football team. And I feel better, Jay Spence. So maybe I'll be able to get some stuff down, or maybe I'll go no notes. I'll have to find the time to do it this weekend or something. There will be an overreaction show on Sunday. I just don't want it to be about last Sunday, if you feel that. So I would prefer to. I prefer to get it out tonight. Maybe I'm good. Maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and the sun will come up. So
I hope so. Yeah. I'm gonna pray for the sun.
Why don't you close this out, and then I'll hit the outro song, and we'll get up on out of here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the last time this season, I am signing off for my man Joe Miller and myself for the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast and YouTube channel. And we are saying, love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.